Blessings of Mike.
This is the beginning. You know where the end is? It's right here. It's right now. It's like a circle. Anywhere you point on the circle, that's the beginning and the end, isn't it? Look at that. If I point here on the circle, that's the beginning of the circle, the end of the circle. You might say, oh, well, where did you start when you drew it? Well, we didn't draw, we just stamped it out. Well, where did it begin then? Oh, well, you might say, well, it began when we stamped it. See, you can go on what could be, what might be, but the truth is, right here is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. This is the first day of the rest of your life. This is the last day of your old life. The first day of your new life. You see, this is the moment. Gee, it's even closer than the moment. It's now. It's now. So where's the Creator? Now. Where's the witness? Now. Where's the doer? Now. Where's God? Right here, right now. Right now, right here, right now. Did you feel that? Did you feel that on your nervous system just then when we said that? Was there a little change that happened, a little subtleness? Change on your body. You felt something different. But now I say, pay attention to it. You can't find it because you are generating outwardly and you're pushing that consciousness away. It's when you were listening and then you were hearing. See, we listen to focus. That's aggressive. But when we sit here and we just hear, that is passive. So you were hearing me, but then when I said listen, you begin to listen and you see the difference. You lose it. You can't be doing something and get it. Anything you're doing is not it. It's interesting, isn't it? So all the rituals, all the worship, all the prayers, all those things, none of them will give you that. It's what? It's the end of the prayer. What do you get at the end of the prayer? After you're done praying, how do you feel then? After you're done meditation, then what do you have? After you do your chanting, then what do you have? That's what you get from it. That's the fruit of it. You see? It's not in the doing of it. It's not in doing anything. So for a moment there, some of you were open and felt that spirit, felt God come closer in your consciousness. And some of you had a little fright. What was that? See? Some were not. Some didn't feel a thing because they're still generating. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Isn't God everything? Be still and know everything. The mystical power. Be still and know. That's the principle. If you want to know something, be still for a moment. Well, they say, pay attention here. I want to show you this. Don't be looking out the window. Come on. You know, if you're getting instructions and something, don't they do that? Did the teacher say it? I remember the teacher saying that. You'll never get this unless you pay attention up here. Instead out the window there. Jerry, that is my nickname. I can hear you. I should say, smart aleck. Yeah. See, we can't get it doing something else. The surrender to let go of your thoughts. Have the thoughts that you have had in your life, all of them, have they gave you God? Oh, if they haven't, then none of them are any good. Throw them out. You got to throw them all away. Got to let them all go. They didn't do anything. They didn't do it. They didn't do it. Is all the feelings gave it to you? You got to throw them out. Is all the knowledge you have gave it to you? You see how we have to break the rings. We have to break the rings. We have to give it all up. See? We have to give it all up to get it. Some people take this physically, if they're physically orientated, so you start throwing away everything physically. Give up everything. They're standing out and say, gee, now I don't know what's happening. I don't have nothing, man. I, you know. Yeah. What I didn't throw away, someone stole. Yeah. Or got lost. I don't know. It's gone. Because some people think, you know, if you're physically orientated and you're told to renounce, that's what you'll do, see. If you're emotionally orientated, then you won't. I'm not going to feel a thing. Some people, when they do that, I'm not going to feel nothing. I don't have to be happy. I don't have to be sad. I don't have to do nothing. You see. We take things at the level we're at. I was sitting in my room in Manoa Valley, and I didn't have physical teachers at this point. I had scripture and spiritual teachers that would appear, light that would appear in the room, and I would get consciousness. It didn't talk to me, but it talked to me. It didn't say, hello, Roy, how you doing? I want to tell you this. And no, it was there. I had it. And some of those things were like that. They come in a flash, or they come in a silence. And then the next couple of days, I would realize things, and I would be awakened to things. And then I realized how God doesn't take any time at all to talk to us. He gives it in a flash. But in our mind, we have to unfold it into time. The sound comes instantly. His words are all instant. But it may take us a while to unfold them in our consciousness. But if we're not at the point of reception to receive the instant in the present, then we have nothing to unfold, you'll see, in that area. Because we didn't pay attention there. We're paying attention somewhere else. So I'm in my room and I said, okay, everything I read in these scriptures, I'm going to put into action. So I come to a part, and I was, at that point, I was reading the Gita, the Bhagavad Gita, which is a Hindu scripture. And it said, you must overcome pleasure and pain. I says, okay, I don't have to be happy. I don't have to have any pleasure. I can get it real rough. And I threw all the stuff off my bed. And I decided, well, I'll lay on the floor. Well, I'm really going to get rough. Then I said, okay, now I know how to overcome the pleasures. But how do I overcome pain? Okay, I got myself a needle. And I said, okay. I stuck it in my finger. Boy, that hurt. I said, ouch. I said, well, maybe if I look at my foot, I'll concentrate on my foot. Okay, foot, 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 foot. Oh, finger. My goodness. All right, let me see now. Maybe if I think something else, I'll see. Oh, mow. What's going on? I'm getting all these bloody fingers. I said, God, how do I overcome pain? This little voice inside says, stop doing that. Stop stinging yourself. See, don't do it. You know? Don't do that again. My goodness. How simple. See how simple that is? If the thoughts you have upset you, don't do it again. Don't stick yourself with it. That's the way you overcome the pain of it. You see? If the feelings you have that hurt you, don't do it again. Don't keep sticking yourself. You see? Don't do that again. If you go someplace that upsets you, or you're hurt, or it's not comfortable, don't do it again. You know, you don't have to suffer. We choose our joy and our suffering. We choose those things. That's part of our free will. And we choose them by the way we think and we feel and we do. If you're at a physical level, you're going to take it at a physical level. So I thought I had overcome physical pain. I didn't understand universal principle. The principle of not sticking yourself again. Think of that. There's a principle there, not to do it in emotions, not to do it in the mind, not to do it in your knowledge, not to do it in your life. You see? There's a principle there that you adapt. When your heart opens up, you become an adapt. You begin to adapt the principles in your life. When you hear about universal love, you start adapting it in your life. But how do you do that? You practice it. You go in and you go to God and you practice universal love in God. And then the first opportunity come out and you give it to everybody. Unconditioned love, see? And then when you see you're running out of it, you go back to some more. And so you fill yourself with it, and then you pour it out. And what happens one day, you will find the font that it comes pouring out all the time. You get to, it'll get conditioned where now that's just natural for you to give that, you see? But it started with practicing, being there, paying attention to it, going to that area of consciousness. I saw auras in God before I ever saw auras in the earth. I practice with God. I mean, that's a safe place to be. I say, okay, God, let's go look. I want to see as God saw. The mystic sees as God sees. He lets himself go to see what God sees. He lets God reveal it to him. You see? Sometimes they're inner vision, sometimes they're outer vision, sometimes it's his vision. But you practice it. You practice it. That's mastery. If you want peace in your life, you say, gee, I wish I could have controlled myself in a situation. You go in, practice, control yourself in a situation. And then when the circumstance comes up, in your subconscious, you'll have a response to it. If you don't have any response, what do? You have to manufacture something in the moment or under pressure. And do something you wouldn't ordinarily do. Now you're stuck with that in your subconscious mind and you're trying to correct that later. You see? Or you're shocked, you're stunned, and you can't do nothing for a moment. You're going... You see? If you don't have anything there, you've got to fill yourself with joy and then go out and pour it out all over the place. It's like you're a cup and that cup must be empty. You see? If you want God to fill you up, you must. If you want God's mind to be in your mind, you must empty your mind of all of your thoughts and all of your feelings and all of these things that run around your mind. You see? But a lot of people say, oh, well, if I empty my thoughts, then I'll be an idiot. Is little children idiots? No, they're called innocent. That's what they're called, and that area of mind is called the innocent mind. It's an innocent part of mind. It is pure, see? It's innocent. It's the child. You must come as a child again. Remember how the child comes to the parent? Come on, Lenny. You run over there. You go, ah! They giggle and stuff. So innocent until the parent pulls them. Come over here, and it trips the kid. Oh, gee, I mean, who does that? Because the kid can say, hey, wait a minute. I don't know if I'm going over there again. I know people who do that. Right here in the Bay Area. Well, they're not the best of people, but, you know, the child comes innocently and openly. And you notice that give them a little spanking, they're all crying, but later on they'll come and give you a great big hug. They're so innocent, they lose it. They don't hold the grudge, see. They don't hold revenge and things in their mind. That's what all that stuff is. You see? Revenge kills people. When you objectify people and make them objects, then you can kill them. Just like they drove into the Marine barracks in Beirut and just shot up over 70 Marines and killed them. Because it's an object. A symbol. I've told you this. Anyone that knows me and has read my book, The New and Golden Age, I told you about this time and war. We're in it. We're in pre-war conditions now. How can you know God with all that kind of stuff going on? Well, I'll tell you, it has been going on. Wars and rumors of wars from Christ's time, we heard about it. The first scene in the Bhagavad Gita is a blind king in a castle, and his advisor is looking out the window and describing what he's seeing out there with two armies. And there's a being named Arjuna standing between the two and his charioteer Krishna. And this man then tells this blind king what's going on. But what happens when the story begins? You lose sight that there's a blind king and a man describing it, and the rest of the story you don't hear that. Well, your spirit's like the blind king. See? Spirit, you don't see, you're being. And then there's a part of you that is objectified. See, the subjective is all one. There's a part of you that objectified, it describes the world. And out there in the world, where there was two things, there was Arjuna, the personality, and Krishna, the divine personality. And then he had to make a choice, because he saw his brothers and uncles and relatives on both sides, in both armies, getting ready for battle. When I was taught it, I was taught that's the way to look at it, and that it was the battlefield of the soul, see, to get the mystical power, you see. But some read it as a nice story. And as I was reading it, and I got to about the ninth chapter, this teacher that was teaching me said, "Which one are you?" For a while I was Krishna. I became Krishna, that was great. But I finally realized I was the blind king. You see? But it took me years to find that out. Years, I didn't find that out right away. I was an illusion about the story until I found the reality of it. You see? Then I realized that not only was I the blind king, I was all the story. I was the play of consciousness that was going on there. When I read the Bible or I read any scripture, I am that. I take it from a point of God conscious looking at it. I don't look at it, I'm trying to get to that. That's who I really am, and I'm trying to express that, you see. You have to start with the end, you see. Too many start at the beginning. Well, you've already begun. You have to start at the end, the perfect result. What do you want? That's the Creator, creates the perfect thing. He sees the perfect thing. He doesn't say, okay, I'm planning this, let's put in a little trouble here, and let's put that we're going to mess up over here, and we're going to have to extend the dates over here, when he makes the plan to create. Do you create plans like that? You know, some people do, saying, oh boy, we're going on vacation, Diane, I'm going to have trouble. Everybody always has trouble on vacation. It's going to be a wonderful time over there. We're going to go see the Grand Canyon, but it'll probably rain. And we had troubles. Well, I hope the tires all hold out. If we get it flat, that's the way it goes. There's always some gum. I was going to take part of our money, a little extra that we had there. Well, gee, I'm glad I had it. See? They throw these things into the plans. Dear God, you know, I would like to have the, but I don't deserve it. Well, if you don't deserve it, you don't deserve it. One woman's coming to me and she's praying. And I says, pray. Let me hear how you're praying. She's praying. Oh, I need this car. Oh, God, you know, I needed to go to work and I need it for this and that. And I accept it now. Thank you, God. You know, I'm not worthy of this and I really don't deserve it. I says, how long have you been praying for that? She says, about 2 months. And I says, well, if you continue praying like that, you'll probably pray a long time. She says, well, why am I not getting it? I says, because you don't deserve it. She says, what do you mean I don't deserve it? I deserve a car as well as anybody else. What are you talking about? I says, well, I'm only telling what you said. What do you mean I said I don't deserve it? I says, well, didn't you hear yourself? I says, say your prayer again. She started saying her prayer, and then she got at the end, and she didn't say it. And I says, now you'll get the car. She says, what I say different? I says, well, the last time you said you didn't deserve it. You weren't worthy of it. You didn't deserve it. Oh, I'm an unworthy sinner. I'm a rotten bum. I mean, who's gonna, you know? What are you identifying with? Are you identifying with being a saint or a sinner? You see? Where's your identity? Who are you? What are you creating from? All possibility or the limitations of those past knots of your already experience. You see? You're not as small as you were yesterday in your experiences. You've grown. And you'll constantly grow from the time you come on this planet till you leave. There's going to be other things happening. You see? And if you're worried, I'm not going to create because there's something going on over in another part of the world or across the street or in the house, then you'll never go anyplace. Well, I can't create this because so-and-so makes me do this. My husband makes me do this. My wife makes me do that. Sounds like someone in bondage. Well, my mother told me I'd only go so far. I had a young man, he came to me, he was 32, and he says, my uncle died at 37, and he died an overdose of, drugs. You know what I'm talking about. And I says, you have to stop thinking that way. Oh, I'm going to go just like he goes, just like he went. Everybody tells me that. I says, are you going to listen to everybody, or are you going to break that? Well, we started to break it. Then his ego got in the way, and he ran away. I performed that funeral when he was 37 years old, 5 years. 5 years, we worked on him to stop him thinking that way. And he wouldn't give it up. So we know thoughts are things and they manifest. Because we've seen people that say, I'm going to be a success, and say, I am a success, and then are the success. I can, I will, it's done. You see? So we've seen people manifesting this both ways. If you have a thought that takes away from all of the other thoughts that come in, your mind has a cancer. It means that there's a thought, and that cancer is thought to be like this. You're beautiful. And then there's a thought in there that says, no, I'm not. My nose is wrong. I don't have big enough boobies. My butt's too small. My muscles are not big enough. I wish I had different color hair. My eyes are too close together. They're too far apart. My top lip is different than my bottom lip. I got a pimple. I can't be beautiful. You know? And it eats up every good thought that comes in. Okay, then pretty soon it makes you feel bad. Someone says you're beautiful and you go, oh, I don't feel beautiful. Yuck. Yuck. And the next thing they're saying, we found that you have cancer in your body. One cell is taking the strength of the other cells around it. Do you hear that? That's darkness. And some people suffer in that darkness. One thought eating up other thoughts. One emotion eating up other emotions. See, eating away at yourself. And that goes on for years. I found that every cancer person that had come to me, I asked them about if they've had a thought that has been persistent for years that was negative. And in 9 cases, we've been able to stop them, and they've been healed. There was a young girl came, and it was when I first began. And God gave me this wisdom. He gives you words of wisdom. He gives you words of knowledge. And he tells you things. When you're open to God and not trying to figure it out for yourself. You know, you can try to figure it out for yourself. How many times you know something and then got all the alternatives and did something else. So this young girl came and she says, God sent me here. I remember the first healing. God says, you are going to be a healing channel. I was sitting there, my meditation. Wait, I didn't want to do that, you know, because I seen all them healers getting sick. You know, I saw a lot of healers getting sick, having lots of troubles because they were doing those healings. I said, well, I'll think about it. The next day, this man came and he says, God sent me here and said you'd heal me. I said, did you tell him that? I said, okay. Okay, God, you did it. You're doing it because I know I can't do it. There's nothing I could do. I couldn't. I didn't know what to do. I just opened up. I said a prayer and the man was healed. I knew all I did was open up. to God and to say the prayer. I knew I didn't do it. I think anybody that's ever had any dealings with supernatural healing knows that they don't do anything but open up to God. And sometimes we're on the way to opening up when He does it. And sometimes He does it before we even get to say our prayer or anything. I've had people I go to pray and they go, "Oh, I got it." And I go, "Great. Thank you." I'm happy, you see, because we can let it happen. Then where they're trying to make it happen. Okay, come on, power. Come on, forces. Come on, get in there. You know, get it. You know, we get it backwards. We sick on them. Like, you know, instead of G-O-D, it's D-O-G. Get him, God. You know, we act like God's a dog or something, you know. So, get him, Jesus. Go over there and get him. Oh, he's going to get you. Boy, it's like, you know, they used to tell me that if I didn't go to bed, there's something they're going to get you if you don't watch out. Well, they try to scare you that way, you see. That isn't the way God works. And you don't sick them on people. You let it happen. See the path of surrender. It's foolish to try to make it happen because you can, and you could do. There's nothing you could do but to let it happen. And so in the creations, find out where you let that happen. See? Really, you're letting things happen a lot of times by not making a choice. You see? Because you didn't make a choice, but you did something else. You paid attention. You left yourself open. As soon as you opened your mind to that, as soon as you put your mind on that. See? So, in the 9-month training, we stress, get that voluntary, sustained, concentrated attention. How can you hold a healing power? How can you hold your mind steady? How can you hold it without free, voluntary attention? Freed! And freedom is responsibility. And destiny is responsibility. If you want to control your destiny, it's responsibility. You have to make all the choices. I know there's a lot of violent fire groups in the Bay, or in the islands. And over here I hear a lot of violent fire groups. Blaze wildfire, blaze wildfire. I did violent fire too. I know what that is. So what happens? They start getting detachment. They start getting freedom. Things start falling away and they don't know why. Old friends start leaving. Ones that they weren't really friends. Things that we have around our house, they start disappearing. People take them. Help us out. I mean, they're all helping us because we're blazing violent fire. That's detachment. See? One of the basic powers there is detachment. Ability to be detached from a second witness state. See? And so what you're doing is you're detaching from everything. And you're isolating yourself in spiritual realms. So pretty soon all the physical starts falling away from you. All the people out here, and as you know, you don't want to be around them. Next thing you know, you're there playing blaze violet fire and all you have is freedom. And you go, "Gee, this is terrible. I'm lonely." Freedom's a terrible place to be. Because you don't do nothing with it. You see? Then some people sit back and say, "Okay, do it to me, God. Come on. Do it." Gee. He gave you free will, didn't he? He gave you free will. You do it. You. You be an expression of God. You do it. You express God. He says, "Do it for me here. Do it for me here." When you give your life to God, guess what He does? He says, "Here's your life." You give your life to God, He says, "Here's your life." And you say, "Oh, good, thanks. Now you don't have one. It's mine." No. Some people think He's going to take away all the fun. "Oh, well, if I get with God, then I can't have any fun anymore, you know. I have to give up those great things like power, sex, and money, gee. And then I have to watch my language. And I can't go certain places. Boy, he's really terrible. I can't have any fun at all." And next thing you know, you're sitting there. I better not even go out. I mean, everything is bad. See, you can really get in that illusion and be completely separated. Remember the key separation. If you're separated, then you're not at one. As soon as there's any separation, then there's you are now alone or isolated. You're not at one anymore. You're not atoned, atonement, to become at one with God. To come back to that realization. Not to find something that isn't existing, not to create something, but to realize something that's already there. That's what you're looking for, what is already there. If you look into the eyes of a baby, they already got it. They lose it. You had it, you lost it when you started paying attention to the world. You see? But the little innocent child says, they know something we don't know. We forgot. See? But in you, you have that original, that pure, that innocence, that perfection, and it's always driving there to do better. It's always a driving force within us. See? Until we transcend this body and emotions and mind and get control of the psyche at the soul level, start following our heart, doing what we know to do.